Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
One of the best jazz clubs in the country is right here in our own backyard. The Jazz Corner has been a staple of the Hilton Head Island music scene since 1999. Since it was founded by Bob Masteller, it's also been instrumental in educating the next generation of musicians through the Junior Jazz Foundation. To celebrate National Arts and Humanities Month and the upcoming Crescendo celebration, we have Jazz Corner owner David Masteller and longtime resident musician Martin Lesh in our studio. They're here to talk about how kids are discovering jazz, the club's legacy, and more. Let's listen. Let's talk about the live music scene here. I don't think anyone has a clear understanding of just how amazing the depth and breadth of live music is. Tell us a little bit about live music here and how you've seen it grow over the years, Martin.
Well, if I go back, I've been here around 30 years at this point, and Dave's been here his whole life, so he's seen even greater changes. But I would say that the quality has always been there. There's always been high quality musicians here. There's always been a problem with lack of venues, as far as especially large scale venues. So it's always been kind of an issue. But the scene is really great. I mean, there's so many full-time working musicians in this area. We're really blessed. It's a truly unique part of the country for that.
You said the magic word, I think, unique. I find it to be a unique area. I mean, I think people are often surprised that a place like Hilton Head Island does have the music scene that it does. He's right. Martin's right. Davey, you've been around forever in terms of music on this island. What makes it unique, do you think?
Being such a small town, for one, you go to a lot of cities and there are lines of musicians and so few gigs and little, but there are more gigs now than there are musicians to fill them. And it's incredible. And a lot of places over the years, I just started to see a change. Maybe before, during, after COVID, people were building their places around live music and getting that, hey, people will come hang out and see light. And there was more and more talent. Like, there was a lot of talent here, but there's more and more talent showing up, and some talent would take off somewhere else and go on to bigger things and better things for them. And it's, I've never seen, for such a small town, so many, now there are so many things going on in a night, you have to really eliminate what you can. And it, you know, we all used to know where our friends were playing through the night and we'd go hop around. But now there's so many things, like, what am I going to do tonight where I can, and it's going to be great talent. I mean, there's so much great talent. There's so much great original songwriting talent, still more than I remember. There was always the few of us and we knew each other, but there are a lot of people I don't even know anymore. But I'm not going out a lot the way I used to either.
Well, you know, we put out a piece every month called Low Country Lowdown, and we found the same thing, that there was such a plethora of options for the live music scene. We just finally had to give it its own button, like, click here for all the live music. Here's what's happening for the next week in live music in the Low Country, because it is definitely prolific right now, especially the Jazz Corner. If you're a local, needs almost no introduction. The Jazz Corner is an iconic spot here on the island. How do you keep that legacy alive? You both play there. You're both involved in that. I know it's obviously from a family perspective.
Just, learning to understand what a true jazz club experience was in my dad's mind, and kind of learning as I went along. I saw him playing some interesting venues around here in Savannah growing up, but it was kind of more ignored. It was kind of just drinks or what, you know, and just trying to always push for that to be bigger and better, and adjusting to the modern world in a different demographics that are now coming to the island and moving to the island as the island's changed, and always just keeping that quality, you know, never dipping on quality, you know. Not everybody was always like, grow, make it bigger, make more, you know, but I don't know. We've kind of always been into more of a quality over quantity house, and just continuing to tweak on that and perfect that over all the years. And now going into year 25, I just feel like it's in the best state it's ever been. It's very, it's down to a science, and it's just a great experience. And I'd always, it spoils me, because then I go on trips and go to these famous jazz clubs and I'm like, well, I'm going to remember this meal next week.
Not so great.
You know, and it, you know, just trying to constantly keep that, what my dad visioned, and sort of with my own creativity and the business now.
There's only a few clubs in the country that are as special as the Jazz Corner in the fact that Well, Bob had a vision for it. I always think that your father started the Jazz Corner when he was my age now. And what a risk that it was in his life to say, I'm going to take all my
next 60 day already.
My next, well, I'm 55. I'm going to be 54 this year.
He was like the KFC of jazz clubs, the guy, you know, the colonel. He was starting it at 60.
He started a business that was very risky, but he had a true vision in it. But it was really that a lot of it's, you know, your family and how your family is and how they treat musicians there. I played at clubs all over this country and all over many parts of the world. And that's my favorite place to play. And just the way musicians are treated there. And I met my wife there, but I'm not bragging about her for that reason. I'm just saying that the place was always that way before I knew her. That's all the musicians love to come there and play. So
that's interesting to hear that, because you've been on that stage for quite a while as well, to hear you say what a kind of a unique gem it is when you've played other jazz clubs around the country.
When Kelly and I are at other jazz clubs in New York or Chicago or New Orleans, wherever, that the musicians always say how much they love it there at the Jazz Corner. So
that's great. That is awesome to hear. Let's talk a little bit about jazz. Jazz for all ages. I know that's part of the Hilton Head Island's annual Crescendo celebration of arts and culture. It's an amazing thing when you look at that calendar and that lineup. And I know that Jazz for All Ages is a big part of that. Talk a little bit about that in terms of how that got started, what's in the lineup this year.
Yeah, my dad kept saying, I want to have a jazz festival. And I was like, really? And I just kept kind of like nodding my head. And that's cool, you know. And so then he had one, had it over, right over here at the Arts Center. And it was a lot of just trying to learn and understand. And then he was gone. And then it was all passed over for the second one and ongoing. So, and I got a lot of influence just how I came up on how to, you know, to just always look big and make it go as big as you can. And, you know, and just by promoting myself that way when I was in, you know, different bands, you know, I wanted to make it always look like, you know, you got to really see. And then we just started growing the talent and just wanted to go for a bit. You know, if it's a festival, it shouldn't be anything that you can see down the street. It needs to be something spectacular. And I started getting just cold calling agents and saying, I'm interested in this and that, you know, wherever. And I just start calling them to say, hey, I'm interested in this and that. I started going on the jazz cruise with my mom and just meeting all these people and saying, I'm interested in you, and trying to find them. And some of them would find me. I mean, these days, some of them, if they see a jazz cruise, are you from there? And, you know, it's grown and grown. And now, again, like the club, we're trying to just now perfect what we've got. And, you know, it's an incredible event, and it's a magical event. And I can't believe this is our ninth year, and it doesn't seem possible.
How is it 9 years?
Tell me.
I remember year one. That's amazing. And I did, you know, it's part of the Crescendo lineup. I know you're on that committee, Martin. Uh-huh. Talk a little bit about Crescendo and the goals behind that, because it does involve more than just music. It's really shining the spotlight on the arts as a whole here.
Well, it coincides with National Arts and Humanities Month, and it starts this year, October 7th, and goes through November 18th. And it ends, of course, with the Lantern Parade, which everybody knows about the Lantern Parade by now, which is a huge event on the island. There's six or seven marquee events that are associated with it, and then a bunch of breakout smaller events that happen throughout it. The smaller events can be anything from poetry readings to dance performances to songwriter series to things like that. And they're always great. Last year, and it allows for a lot of collaboration between all the different artist groups. So for example, last year I was able to collaborate with some poets and accompany them as they read their poetry, which was like a dream of mine. I always wanted to do that. But the main marquee events would be the Jazz for All Ages Jazz Festival, which is October 29th and 30th at the Sonesta. And Dave can tell you more about that in a second, because he worked so hard on that. The Hilton Head Lantern Parade, November 18th. Clue at the Arts Center, which is running through October 29th. The Mitchellville Film Festival, which is October 25th and 26th at Coligny. Symphony Under the Stars, which is a tribute to Hollywood music. And they'll have music from like Breakfast at Tiffany's and Forrest Gump. And that's Friday, October 20th in Celebration Park. It's always a beautiful place to play. And then the big kickoff is Tuesday, October 10th. And that's in Shelter Cove Park. And that's always a great event with a ton of different music and performances.
Wow. What a lineup. That's, I mean, there's something for everyone too. That's the great thing about it. No matter what you're, I think it's neat with Crescendo because I kind of discover new things, things I hadn't intended to discover. I'll check that out. And then I do. And suddenly you develop a new interest. So, you know, thanks to you and that committee for making it the depth and breadth that it is.
It's fascinating to see the amount of culture and arts we have going on in a town this size.
And that time of year too.
It grows every year. And I don't think we've ever, I mean, Dave and I have been working in the arts and cultural community for a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen the support I've seen right now from both the community and town government for all these events. So it's just a great time for Hilton Head as far as that goes. And I only see it growing more and becoming more of a destination thing for people to come here and see what we have going on. Because once again, that's very unique too. Not just because we're a small town with a lot of arts and music and whatever, but we also have Mitchellville. We have our Native Island heritage, and those are all completely unique.
Yeah, definitely. Very unique. I want to talk about the unsung hero thing that y'all do, which is nurturing young talent. And thank you to you both. My son was a beneficiary of that. Thanks to you guys and James Berry and a lot of people who poured into the youth in this community, started the Junior Jazz Camp. That's really, how many years has that been going on now, Dave?
I think this was the 10th year, right?
10th year?
Yeah.
He was there for the first. Y'all were there for the first.
This was either 10 or 11. Yeah. I wasn't there for the first. I was there for the second.
Yeah.
So it must, so that first must was be
like
11
kids. I feel like it was a little bit earlier, but I can't remember.
Kids are coming in from all over to do this jazz camp now, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they come from as far away as Alaska.
One kid was trying to come from Israel last year.
Wow. Just nurturing. So thanks, kudos to you guys, because I think it's one of the unsung things that you do, which is nurturing young talent and helping young talent discover that, many of whom go on to be professional musicians. Yeah. So it's a big deal.
Well, you know, there's two things about that. One thing is every year I say, I don't want to do this because I have to get up at 8 a.m. every day of the week to go do it. But then being with the kids is so energizing, you know, and it's just great to hang out with them. But also, we truly need more young musicians. I mean, if there's not, the school programs are not what they used to be, you know. So, one of my fears is worrying about great artists not getting a chance to develop. Mm. And so, for example, you might not be able to find a great trombone player anymore, or a great upright bass player anymore, because the schools aren't developing them. There's no chance for them to find this, and so. It makes me think that really great music could be in jeopardy.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting perspective on that. And, you know, I mean, my son went through Junior Jazz Camp and would tell you all day long that that is one of the most difficult genres to learn. But it's just such an amazing, he considers it to be such a great training ground for him that he learned more at jazz camp. Yeah. So thanks to you guys for.
I mean, he's just got so much up here, from a foundation standpoint. I know that that's helped them a lot.
Yeah.
We'll continue to.
And you're doing that for a lot of kids. If you could wave your magical music wand on over Hilton Head Island, what would you wish for the future of music on Hilton Head?
I mean, for me, there's probably two things. One is that when I look at an event like the Jazz Fest, it would be probably nice to have a venue for those size shows. So, and for things like symphony performances, so to have a proper venue to me would make a big difference as far as, not that we don't have great venues, just to have a venue, 800 to 1200 seater kind of thing. And you find very few towns with this much action and this level of tourism that wouldn't have that. So for me, and especially on island, it would really be great, I think.
How about you, Davey?
I've never seen it like this now. So I just feel like I'm not trying to wish for something that's not. There are things happening that I've just never seen with a lot of these big park concerts and a lot of new ideas. And it's only so big, but it used to be only so many people, but now it's changing so much that I don't know. I kind of like what's coming, where it's going. I've always been just like when we started jazz camp, it was very strictly seasonal and there were only so many people here. So I just worry about tons of, you know, I mean, I, it, you know, if it could be something like that could be used enough and really be worthwhile, be great. But I always wonder how that, you know, how much would it be used? I mean, I would want it to be used a lot, and it would be great to have a great place. Cause I mean, we started like the festival outside, but I stay away from that because it was too many. Like wave the white flag, have to make a call, have to postpone, people blame you, and you know, weather, this, that, storm's coming, you know. So I only want to see it where it is right now without growing it, like without a roof, you know. If there's something bigger, then I would try to like have us grow the festival more, but I just don't want to come back outside.
Well, we're just coming off the Island Jams first year effort on that with BMI artists all over the island.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And it was a ambitious undertaking that was pulled off and pulled off well. So I think that's a new beginning for something else. So it's just nice to sort of see everything blossoming and growing. And
there was a huge level of support for it in the community. So that to me was, when you had the balloon, the laser balloon show going on at Honeyhorn, and then the big concert in Celebration Park the same night, and both events had a great, you know, outpouring of people. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so lucky to live here and get those types, that caliber of music year round is pretty phenomenal from a person listening's perspective. You know, you guys are up there playing and planning and doing all that, so it's just great if you're a resident, that quality of life you get here that you really don't, like you said, it's unique. You don't get it in other places. What was the, is there an instrument you don't play that you would like to play? Or how did you get involved with music in general? Martin, do you remember that?
I was, my earliest memories, I wanted to be a musician. So, I mean, some of my earliest memories were listening to music and playing around with the piano and trying to figure it out. And, for my fifth birthday, my parents gave me lessons. That was what I had asked for. And I just always wanted to play there. I mean, I had moments of burnout where I felt like, okay, a big moment of burnout for me was when, before I started playing at Jazz Corner, because I was playing a lot of rock music and everything, and which was fine. It's just that I felt limited. And then I went back to jazz through meeting Dave's father.
That was an interesting time because my dad was burnout on piano players.
Oh, interesting.
Because there were so few, and they just had just strange ego things, and he was just tired of it. And there was always antics, and there was guys putting him through the ringer. And I don't know if I said something or if he was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. And I was tired of seeing these guys putting through stuff. But somewhere along the lines, he started talking to Martin. I'm like, you know, and I remember I was reading, like, you know, he's young, he's knowledgeable, he's not going to, you know, like take you through a circus, he's just going to come play. And then on they started together, and it was like years and years. I mean, throughout the rest of my dad's life, he was like his guy. But for, you know, until then, it was just like he was fed up. And then he'd find a great guy, but the guy smoked like five packs of cigarettes. And then the guy would pass away a few months later, like, God, I had the right guy. And then another guy would, you know, they were older guys and been through a lot of that old jazz lifestyle. So they were kind of on their way out, but he couldn't pin the right guy down for long. And then he had an old, like, you know, an old college acquaintance from, you know, he was putting him through a lot. And, you know, he fired a piano player once from a fake gig. Like it was a photo shoot. It was ridiculous. And that was just the timing. And I didn't know he was going through that sort of mental state at the time. So it was like both of them were burnt out on what they were doing.
Yeah, to be able to like play jazz music, which is basically limitless in what you can play over it. But I had to get my chops back. And one thing that happened, and I've always, and this is one of the reasons I'm always trying to hang out with and work with other musicians, is that I said, I was like, Bob, I've been doing this Nashville thing, and I've been doing this. I've been playing with Angie Aparo for a long time. I said, I don't know if I have my jazz chops up. And he said, come by the club during the days and we'll just play songs. And he would take hours each week just teaching me songs and sitting there and playing with me and saying, oh, you should listen to so-and-so play that. You should listen to this version. And it was one of the most generous things. And Bob was a very busy person too, but it was one of the most generous things anybody's ever done for me. So,
and it wasn't just because I have people come up to me now, and you know, he used to meet my granddaughter there in the afternoons and show her things on the trumpet, or my grandson, he used to come in and play. Like he was doing that to like a lot of people, especially the kids, but he would just like to go there in the afternoons and do these things. It was, you know, I hear that now, people come up to me now, about it, or my daughter, or what, you know, he was just like to hang out and talk shop and influence people and sort of get them, I don't know, help kind of guide them.
Right.
That's one of the beautiful things is that his, like those sort of things I see in you and your mother. And also they've like, I always try to pass it along, you know, like I sit around often when I'm faced with dilemmas and say, what would Bob do? You know, it's like, how would he face this thing? He had a tendency to say, I have this giant vision. And then he'd find the people around, he'd surround himself with people that could get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, so he was like a visionary person. And then he had people around him that were smart enough and hard enough to get the vision done.
Well, you obviously a legacy, a family legacy of music. And you mentioned you started at 5. That's amazing. How did you get drawn in? Obviously, it's just something that's part of your family life. But do you remember your first instrument? Do you remember your first, you know, experience of like, hey, I want to get into this. I want to do this.
As a kid, I was really attracted to the guitar at first. But when we were in the house, we just had the stuff all over the living sea pines when I was a kid. And I would loop around with the vibes and this and that. And I started trying to play horn because he was playing horn. And I started in school. I was not good at it at all.
It's hard.
I didn't like it. But I just did it. And then I stopped that. And then I wanted a guitar. And a friend had a bass. And I was like, oh, I don't really like bass. That's cool. You know, so I remember he put money on a layaway for like a Van Halen guitar, the whole thing with the graphics with the red and all the stuff. We never got it, but I wound up getting one Christmas an Ibanez little black bass. And I kind of really got into it and found myself gravitate easier towards strings of any kind. So I would just get on something with strings and learn it a lot better. But I kind of started just learning basic stuff, took a couple lessons and then put it away for a long time, but then started picking it up and then wanted to put on more and more challenging songs and just started learning quicker by ear. And I'm like, well, I'll just kind of go with my ears and started to become more natural that way and faster progression.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And here you
still
are.
Still faking it.
I love the fact that the jazz club technically could expand. I mean, it's booked all the time. You know, it's such a popular spot, but yet you've kept that intimacy. You've kept it small. You haven't done an expansion.
There's not a bad seat. There aren't many bad meals that go out. There's,
no.
You know, it's and I like it. It seems like the seats that sell the least in the back corner of the bar are my favorites. And people buy those last. And I love being back there. And a lot of my favorite time, you know, you can still hear. So that room is great. I mean, acoustically. So sometimes when there are malfunctions, what, you know, that they have to like not be amplified, you know, that you can hear everything. And that's what I love to listen for things. So many people are into the like, blow your eardrums out to get the point across. I just like to where that room just tests your listening, like where you can really hear details and scratches and instruments and things.
There's a subtlety to it. Yeah. That gets picked up in that room that you might not pick up elsewhere.
All the seats are good.
And you met your wife there.
I did. I would be off the road. I was living here, but I was on the road a lot and I would go into the jazz corner on Mondays or Tuesday, usually Tuesdays I would go in there. And that was Bob's night. And that's how I met your father. And I would just go in and I would, because I love jazz. And so, and I kind of have a deep, like bass and jazz history. It always fascinated me. And so did Dave's father. So we would stay up, you know, stay around after close and talk about jazz history and stuff. And I met Kelly there.
That's great. That's great. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Check it out. We're going to have the schedule. We'll be putting it out for all the musical happenings that are happening with Crescendo and jazz and so much happening. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow and never miss an episode of our 5 Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.